Okay, we're continuing in the Tanya, in the Sefer Chasidus Mevu'aris, the second volume, Perek Tes. We're in the third Chelek, on page Lamed Beis. Talking about the struggle between the godly soul and the animalistic soul. Godly soul that is sourced in the brain and in the right ventricle, and its attempt to control the body, and by having the godly soul penetrate into the left ventricle. And the last thing we talked about was that there's so much love spilling forth from the godly soul and from the right ventricle. It spills into the left ventricle and use an expression of enforcing the other side. And that other side, which is the foundation of the water, it's a base element of water, which is evil, which is the taiva of the klipas noga, which is the taiva, the lust of that neutral klipa that can be made to illuminate. Right? And the main thing that we ended off with was that the essence of the animalistic soul is the power to want to have pleasure. And it is pulled, is drawn to all those things that give it great pleasure. So the main nullification of the animalistic soul is through the forcing and the nullifying its taiva, which is the bitter waters, and that is the, and that's nullifying its essence. That's the last thing we ended off with. Okay, so footnote 41, that's where we ended off. I believe we had to do footnote 41 before we continue. So he says in footnote 41, Afal pishe gam shar hamidos haroz hatfus benefesh abahamis bos me'arbi yesodos raim shalom. Even though all the other bad midos that are all implanted in the animalistic soul, and they come from all four elements that are evil, vein chelik mimaos hanefesh, is part of that soul. They're not the main essence of the animalistic soul. Ki hayesodos shel kol dover heim rak tzuras hachomer shekodem lahem. Because these elements of anything, they're just the shape of the mass that preceded them. V'zeh chomer hu etzem hadover. And the chomer, the mass, is the essence of it. Remember, we said that, you know, from the animalistic soul comes jealousy, all these other anger, all these other bad things. But the those are just how we shape that essence. It's the shape it takes. But there's the essence, right? The essence of the animalistic soul is pleasure. It's the essence. Now we can take that desire for pleasure, and it can go into all kinds of directions. Since my essence wants pleasure, so I don't get my pleasure, I get angry. But that's not, the essence isn't to get angry. The essence is it wants pleasure. You're not giving me pleasure, so it gets angry. It's jealous. Those are different things altogether. What I really want is just to have my favorite ice cream. That's the essence of my favorite ice cream. I'm going to give him my favorite ice cream. Oh, I'm angry at you. I'm jealous of the guy who has that, right? That's the I feel bad that other people have and I don't have. You know, that all those are the permutations, the different shapes that essence, but it's all coming from what? I didn't get that pleasure I wanted. So that's why he keeps talking about just this power of the water, the power of the pleasure. That's how it is in everything. So the same thing he's saying in the animalistic soul. The animalistic soul expresses itself in many shapes, different shapes. And those are the details of the bad midos. But the power of desire, that's in the animalistic soul. Zehu koach hatar, so that's the power of wanting its pleasure. That's the essence of what it is. Therefore, what do we have to really hit? What are we looking at? Looking at the anger, looking at the jealousy. Those are just the manifestation of that. Those are the symptoms that come when there's unfulfilled pleasure. So therefore, l'chein kfiyas etzam anevesh abamis. We're talking about subduing the essence of the Eilsik soul. V'afichas otov, and turning it to the good. G'vishivor b'sam b'fanim v'inyan. Chol vav v'shnei yitzrecha. As we'll explain, when it says you have to love God with all your hearts, it means with both yetzers. Shezel ha'afichas ha'yetzahara li'os tov gomer k'mo yetzatov mamash. We have to turn the yetzahara to being totally good, just like the yetzah tov. How is that? We have to nullify this yearning for the pleasures of this world.
To quieten the desires.
That's, well, we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be more than that. Part of it is quieting the desires, but it's much, much more than that. But that's the area of attack. Once you got that, once you have a person who's not into the physical pleasures of this world, so what's he going to be angry about? There's a lot of different taivas. It's a taiva for covet. It's a taiva too. You don't get any covet. I'm going to take revenge on you. You didn't give me covet. I'm not going to talk to you. It's a bad mitos. I'm going to speak lashon hara about you. But why? Because I want to take this covet. You didn't give me this covet. Now, if I would not be looking for this covet, then I wouldn't be doing any of these things. If I'm not looking for covet, I'm looking for rib steaks, I'm not looking for all these physical pleasures in life, then I'm not upset or angry or jealous or all those other mitos that revolve around that. So this is where we have to turn that Yetzirah around and to stop making us being physical pleasure seekers. That's the Nakuda he's saying over here. In the back, in footnote tests, we're told to go there. He says that the koach hatanik kosher imatzmus umahusirodom, the power of pleasure is tied into the essence of the person. It's part of who you are. That you cannot deny that reality that you have. So we'll see shortly. We're going to deal with this. And we see that everybody receives pleasure from different things. Every person, which corresponds to his position and level of spirituality. When a person takes pleasure from God, once a person starts saying, "Boy, you know, I really love that Gemara class. That's an amazing Gemara class. Shabbos was outstanding. I love it. Can't wait for the next Shabbos." What does that mean? That's a proof that godliness has penetrated into your essence. This proves that the godly soul has penetrated into you totally. Right? And therefore, that becomes the pleasure that he's looking for. He's going to talk about that. When a person comes to the real love that comes out of the pleasure of being with Hashem truly, if his whole pleasure is only from Hashem, that's the biggest proof that the essence of the animalistic soul has turned around. We'll see. He's going to discuss this all as we continue. But that's the game plan. Continuing now back on page Lamed Beis in the Chassidus verse. It's not just a question of subduing, but it's a question also more than that. Lishanoso, to change it, ulahapcha, and to turn it around. To change it from loving the pleasures of this world to loving Hashem. That's the goal. This is how you're going to win the war, take over the entire country of the human being. We've got to get the left ventricle lusting and desiring Hashem, because that's what it's capable of. So again, it's not a question of changing your nature. It's not. Because your nature is neutral. Your nature is to take pleasure in things. That's your nature. So fine. So now you've taken pleasure in the wrong things. So now it's just a question of switching what you're taking pleasure in. Instead of taking pleasure in hot dogs and, you know, food or covet or this, sports and this, you're going to take pleasure in spiritual things. And that's true to the animalistic nature. It's not particular. It's not particular. Just give me pleasure. Just give me pleasure. Okay, I'll give you a pleasure, but it'll be a different pleasure. Now, of course, it's going to be work to change it from old habits. That's already a different story. That's what makes the whole Avodas Hashem what it is. That's why it's so important if a child never really is exposed to certain pleasures, it should not have to give up later. You have to give it up later. Why should you want to give the kid this, you know, why make a kid be an alcoholic? You can give a kid alcohol from a very young age, and he's going to be addicted to alcohol. And then, so, what's the difference? A parent would never do that. My parents, you know, you give in, your kids ask for everything, they ask for cell phones, ask for this, and you know it's not good for them, and you give it to them anyway. So it's the same thing. They've got to be able to change. You know, you don't breed them for tivus. So, okay, so what do you want? A kid's going to be a kid. What do you want? So I always say, you give them tivus that will naturally, they will not want when they get older. Mm-hmm. There's certain tivus that I want to get older.
Yeah, toy
as much as I loved toy soldiers when I was a kid. I had hundreds of them. 6, 7, 8, 9. I love them. No, I really, I'll tell you the truth, I don't have any type for a toy soldier. I really don't. I don't.
Grow out of it. It wasn't denied to you.
No, but I'm saying. That's the point. There's some things you don't grow out of.
Okay, yeah, let a kid do something in life. You know.
Yeah, but you
if say. If watching you, sports, they don't grow out of
but
it.
But you grew out of, well, I don't know about
you don't grow out of sports. You don't. It doesn't happen. Any kid who was raised on sports, unless he's totally removed from that environment for a long time, you can't get out of it. Certain types, you know, certain things. It's just it's not interesting for me to make believe that the Americans are beating the Germans in soldiers. It just doesn't do anything for me now, and because it's obvious, it's the world of the make believe that you get out of that world. Right, you know, playing with
Link for a child.
That's healthy.
It depends. Certain things, certain things are
healthy,
and certain no. There's something using your imagination is very healthy for kids. You know, pretending that this guy is shooting this guy.
Yeah,
that's healthy. That's imagination. That's good. You know, there's a lot of things. You know, building blocks.
Yeah,
you're building. That's very good coordination. There's all kinds of good things that come out of that. And I'm not going to want to build blocks later. Lego, all those things. Those are good things. But the other thing, watching television, that's something there. When the young, it's an addiction. You don't grow out of liking to watch television. Those are the problems. Okay, I'm not saying it's easy to keep a kid away from it, but you know, some things are easier. You just don't have the TV in the house, period. It's never an addiction. There's no need for it. The parents are addicted to it. Oh, then the kid's going to be addicted. The computer, the same thing. They've all proven these are all, you can't give them things that are addictive that will grow with them as they grow. Yeah. A little 6-year-old on a computer will be an overgrown 26-year-old kid on the computer all day long. So you have to be careful which type is, you let the animal, okay, kid plays ball. So you play catch. Okay, so you play catch. So what's wrong with that? You're not going to play catch forever. You're going to outgrow that. Certain things you outgrow. And you're catching more important things in life than balls. Right? So that's not a problem. And then again, you know, how much physical pleasure they have to be exposed to. You know, does the kid have to have the fanciest food every day? Then he's going to get used to the fanciest food every day. You know, as much as we're all guilty of it, you know, giving your kids candies and things like that, which are not good for them. But, you know, you want to be a good parent. That's not
you used to reward
parent.
The kids in school with candy.
So you reward them, but that doesn't come regularly. It's not standard fare. It's saying, you know what, if you learn Torah and you know it well, you'll get a candy. Okay, now I'm using that candy as a means to get the kid to love Torah. You know, it's what do you call it? Stimulus response. When a sweet experience follows a Torah experience, it shows you that Torah is sweet. Kid will associate Torah with sweetness, and that's what we want them to do. When they get old enough, they'll realize that Torah is sweet on its own. I don't need the candy anymore. That becomes the difference. And even candies, you know, adults grow out of candies. You know, most adults, I guess, you know, I don't need sweet stuff anymore. But other things, you know, but as you know, during the week, well, we have to serve steak every night. Okay, the fanciest gourmet meals every night. Then the body's going to expect it every night. It's going to expect every night. It's going to demand
they
it.
They want to make Shabbos special.
Shabbos is special.
No, what I'm saying is,
so you leave the best food for Shabbos, and then you explain them. The only reason we're having good food today is because it's Shabbos.
Yeah.
And to honor the Shabbos, as we've been explaining in the Shabbos morning classes, you want them to get an idea of what Olam Haba is going to taste like. Okay, so Shabbos is special. Okay, you want the child from his limited perspective. How's he going to understand Shabbos is special? He's not mature enough to understand the way we've been learning about this. Okay, but one thing he knows, candy is sweet. That I know. A good piece of meat tastes good, but only on Shabbos. So a kid understands, must be Shabbos, a very important thing. So that's why you have to be careful not to addict the animalistic soul for those kinds of pleasures, but get him used to other pleasures at a young age. You know, even like you train the kid to play chess. You know, that's a good thing for a kid to learn to play chess, because he's training his mind to think hard. And to have that pleasure in thinking hard. And then when you're thinking hard on chess, so then I want you to think hard on a Gemara, because really Gemara is just a chess match, just on a different plane of existence.
But the same danger exists that a kid would take so much chess that he would want to become a champion and devote all his life to the people who are absolutely fanatic about it, and that's all they
because,
think.
Because that's all they did. Life. They don't learn Gemara with it. If all they do is chess, you say, listen, we'll play a little chess, you know, and then, you know, it's a game. And you grow out of the game because you've given him the next thing, you know, now that it's sharpened his mind a little bit, and it's a game, you know. So now, like, go try Gemara, and we'll show you. Your sharp mind is going to understand Gemara. That's, you know, games where you have to think. That's good. You want to train a child to think. He can't learn Gemara when he's 5 years old. You could teach a kid how to play checkers at 5, and you could teach him how to play chess at 7. You can. You know, you can't teach him Gemara yet. But he's already learning. You know, you have to think more than one step ahead. There's a lot of good things about that. You can't just look at the here and the now. You've got to figure, if I'm going to take this piece, and that piece is going to kill me, then I'm going to lose. And the kid slowly gets this. While all the other handheld games, it doesn't work that way. It's the one play and that's it. And you learn how to be adept with your fingers. And you think you're a football player, you know, but that's not what you are. So those are things that are good things for a kid to learn. They got to do. They can't sit and learn when they're 3 years old all day long. They can't. So they got to play. So you have to play the kind of things that will develop thinking part of the child. In an enjoyable way. So he's used to thinking already. The muscle of the brain is used to think. And then it'll just learn to think about Chumash, Gemara, those other things as the maturity sets in. That's very important thing that has to happen over here.
It seems like the other aspect is deferred gratification as well.
Deferred gratification, all those things. Play a chess match, you can't enjoy it till after half an hour.
Wait for Shabbos for the treats.
That's right. We'll go to the store together. Which treat should we buy for Shabbos? Can I have the treat now? No, we're going to have it on Friday night. Those are all healthy things. And even then, the treat shouldn't go overboard on Shabbos. It should be still limited in nature. You know, you don't have to give the guy a whole bag of potato chips. Huge bag of chips. You give him a handful of potato chips. Oh, but you love them so much when you're giving them a bit. You know, remember, if you're loving them, you don't want to increase the animalistic soul. Unless that's what you're into, then I'll define your love. Remember, you live for pleasure too. So one of your pleasures is that your child is happy and your child loves you. Well, okay, but you know what kind? But that could be an animalistic pleasure too. You have to be careful. So you know, the love you have to your child should be a godly pleasure, not an animalistic pleasure. As we will all get through. So let's continue. So it's not just a question of controlling and coercing. But now as the Tanya continues, L'shanoso, to change it. Tachlis ha-shleimish al-mitzachan ha-melchama neged ha-nevesh ha-bahami is the ultimate victory, the complete victory in the battle with the animalistic soul. He kasher, it's when it's not only that the person has nullified and destroyed its taivus in a way that it has no pleasure from the physical world. But more than this, you've changed the power of of desire for holiness. That instead of the love, the natural physical pulling of the animalistic soul for the pleasure of this world, next page, Lamed Gimel, you turn the power of lust for love of Hashem. I'm lusting to cleave to Hashem, and that's what you find in David HaMelech. David HaMelech had a big Yetzirah. Remember, people have bigger Yetzirahs and smaller Yetzirahs. He had a huge Yetzirah. Huge. As huge as Esau's. That's why they were red. So they like that a big desire for pleasure. That itself is not an evil. It means he's got a very powerful, powerful tool. Now, if you're going to use it for the physical world, that's going to be the problem. Esau could not overpower that tool. That tool is so strong, he didn't succeed in overcoming it. Now, if you want to know, the tragedy of Esau, look at David. What he could have been. He could have been like David HaMelech. And David HaMelech, how was he able to overcome it? Because he wasn't the beneficiary of these physical pleasures. He was denied a lot of physical pleasure. The most basic of physical pleasure is love that a father has for a child. His father didn't know he was his child the whole time he grew up. The brothers think he was a child. He was relegated to go into to be a shepherd. How much physical pleasure is out there with the shepherds? So he developed his spiritual side, and that's what he always said. I'm burning, I'm lusting, all those words. The words that son Shlomo Melech uses in Shir HaShirim, the description of the relationship of how Hashem and the Jewish people love each other. It's almost X-rated. If it wasn't for the fact that it's all X, exalted, rated. Where it's rated, it's in terms of my lusting for Hashem, my passion for Hashem. That's turning it into the most beautiful thing. And remember, the Yetzer Tov isn't quite able to have the passions that a Yetzer Hara can have. Yetzer Hara is just pure pleasure. So if you and the more you want pleasure, the more you get obsessed with it. Where does obsession come from? Obsession comes from the Yetzer Hara. I'm obsessed with it. I can't get enough of it. Okay, can't get enough of what? Well, that's going to be the telling point. So we want to be able to take over the Yetzirah. I can't get enough of Torah. I can't get enough of mitzvahs. And just like a person who's addicted to bad things, there's nothing wrong with being addicted to good things. Addicted to good things with a proper balance, something wrong with that. Hafichazu, this turning over, nasis al yedei, and how does it happen? Shavas Hashem mispeshetes bechlal asmoli, where the love of Hashem spills over to the left ventricle. Ad kidei kach so much yegama chalal asmoli hu molei b'Hashem, until the left ventricle is filled with love of Hashem. V'azaguf kulo molei mem levaro. Therefore, the body is completely filled only with that. Even the left ventricle, that has taivas, but the taiva, it's spilled off to only want Hashem. He's got a big bracket over here. Kamuvan, it's understood. Yetziras shina kezeh, shaping this change. The nefesh abam is an animalistic soul. Enu cholios v'azachas, that can't happen in one shot. Also, because it's largely loving Hashem. We doreshes avoda rabbi v'giyatzuma, it needs a lot of work. Shalav acha shalav, step after step. Kamudgash v'losh v'benokan, as the Otanya stresses, la'achve, l'satra achva, first to subdue the other side, then l'shanosa, to change it, l'hapcha, to turn it around. So that's the order. Subduing, changing, turning upside down. Klomer, meaning to say, Tilas Avodahi, the beginning of our service is Ba'ovan Shal Iskafya Bovad, forcing alone. The beginning is forcing. I'm going to explain more what forcing means. We're not there yet. Hainu Lishpor is Koch HaTaiva B'derech Kepirish V'Hechvich. Kepirish V'Hechvich. You break the power of taiva in a way where you're subduing it, right? For the yates, the animalistic soul only wants pleasures, so you subdue that. And after a lot of work of subduing, then the animalistic soul starts to change. When you take it away from lusting for the things of this world, it's going to start to lust for something else. And it's going to begin to understand the divine light that comes from Hashem and the love of Hashem. Then it's not opposing it. See, the problem why we don't want to get spirituality because I've got all these other pleasures that you're making me not have. I want to watch television now. I want to go on the computer now. I really want it, and you're telling me to go to a class.
It's way too much conflict.
Right? I like this, but you'll try the ones. You'll like the ones. What do I have to bother for? I'm also lazy. It's right in front of me. Why do I have to get out of the house? It's a cold night. It's just giving the pleasure that's right in front of me. So you can't, going for the godly stuff if you're into the physical stuff. So you've got to subdue it and say, no, you don't want that physical stuff anymore. Once you don't want this world, so now how do some people, start to become more spiritual? When God starts denying them the physical pleasures. You start getting older and you can't have those same physical pleasures anymore. God forbid a person gets sick and you cannot have those physical pleasures anymore. And you're never going to have those physical pleasures anymore. Or they've been, they've been altered for a long time. Okay, so I might as well, but you still are driving for pleasure. You still need a pleasure. So if you need a pleasure, and I can't get it from the physical world, then I'm going to look, I'm searching. That's the idea of searching. I'm searching what? You're searching for something that's going to give you pleasure. So now, if I'm not getting pleasure from the physical world, then I will seek pleasure in the spiritual world. I got to find something. Why do young Israeli people have to, they come out of the army, they're going to the Orient? Because they're looking for pleasure. They're not getting any pleasure in their life. So that's what they're looking for. So once you can subdue it, now we can get to the spiritual pleasures. There's an opposition. And at the end, then you can turn it over. The animalistic soul turns over completely. That means you essentially now love godliness and you're drawn to holiness. Yeah?
Just when people say they're searching for meaning, because I think that's the word they use.
Pleasure, i.e. pleasure. Whenever they say they're searching for meaning, it's just a sophisticated saying, I'm a bigger behemoth. I'm a sophisticated behemoth now. Because, for some people, how many steaks can you eat already in your life? I've done it enough times already. So if you're a little smarter, you realize this is not doing it for me. Okay, so I'm a more sophisticated behemoth, so what more behemothic can I be? That's just a sophisticated behemoth. It's not anything to do with God. Right? Now, back to the words of the Baal HaTanya. Kemosha Kasov, that's what it says in the Torah. You should love Hashem b'chol levavecha, with all your hearts. Bishnei Yitzarecha, with your two Yetzers. With the right and the left ventricle. The idea of turning over the animalistic soul from the pleasures of this world to loving Hashem. That's the inner explanation. What the rabbi said on the pasuk. Both your yetzers. What does this really mean? You work hard to get to the point, to reach a level. So not only does the Yetzer Tov love Hashem, but the Yetzer also loves Hashem. That's a problem. Until that happens, you're a bit of a spiritual schizoid. Because sometimes the right heart is activated, sometimes the left part of the heart is activated. It goes back and forth. So how do you turn the left ventricle, the Yetzer, to really love Hashem? Next page. Lamed Daled. The explanation for this is HaKoach HaMisavish Al Nevesh HaBahamis, that power of lust, the animalistic soul, Ein Maos Koach HaZeh Chet V'Rah Mitzad Etzem Atznuso, the essence of the animalistic soul that yearns and desires is not sinful in and of itself. Yearning is not sinful. Lusting and desiring is not sinful. That's what you are. Because the essence is only the power of desire. So the power of desire could be desiring for good, just like right now it's for the power of bad. And so don't tell me that the Yetzer is bad. That's what the Medrash says, right? Hashem saw at the end of the sixth day, everything was Tov Ma'od. Tov is good. Ma'od is even better. Tov is the Yetzer Tov. Ra is the Yetzer Ra. It's even better. I mean, how can it even be better? When you get to that point where you're filled only with love of Hashem, the Yetzer Hara means, i.e., the power of lusting and desiring, which therefore means, and that's the only way you're ever going to reach a level of Dveikus. We're looking for Dveikus. Hashem says that's the ultimate goal. Cleaving to Hashem. Cleaving to Hashem. I can't live without Hashem. That only comes with the Yetzer Hara. And that's Tov Mod. If a person has not infiltrated into the left ventricle, then the person is never going to cleave to Hashem. The part of you likes Hashem, part of you likes other things. You can't cleave to Hashem. But how am I ever feel this? And you know, so you have to feel, just like you know how you passionately want things that are narishkeit. Everyone has whatever their narishkeit is. I just love following the maple leaves, man. I live and die with them. Every minute I got to click on and see what's going on. I live and die, you know, to hear good lashon hara about people. Everybody's got something. So now just say, look how you're passionate about this. So now if I could just, you know, realize you could have that same passion for Hashem. The same passion for Hashem. Imagine every time you go on the computer, you're clicking onto the God site. As soon as, you know, during work, they have to put a filter on you because you're going to go to the God site every minute. You can't control yourself. When Shabbos is over, the first thing you're doing is clicking out to go to the God site. Well, that's not possible. Sure it is. For every silly thing in the world, you can do that. You can't tell Hashem I wasn't capable of doing this. So I said, what do you mean? You're very into it. Whatever you're into, you know how to be into it really well. You didn't give me the ability to really want to cleave to you. You're cleaving to all the kinds of things you weren't supposed to cleave to. Believe me, when it came to the Kiddush, you cleaved to the Kiddush. You go 4 or 5 times back to that table. You never left that table, man. You know how to cleave. You know? So don't tell me you don't know how to cleave. Question is, you just had to turn it around to cleave for the right thing. Tov Ma'od. When you're able to turn away, as we'll talk about tomorrow morning in the 8 o'clock class, you know, Shabbos is the day where you feel, where we hope that you could take that yearning and channel it to Hashem. So how do you do that? You got to turn your back on the rest of the world.
That's part of the prohibitions as well.
To stay away from the physical world, to stay away from physical things that give you pleasure. And if now you're yearning for that pleasure, it should be turning and functioning to yearning for Hashem.
Because that's why you can't sleep through Shabbos, because then you've wasted.
That's right. All right, now. Okay, Klomar, what does he mean to say? The natural drawing of the power of desire of the Nelson soul for the pleasures of this world isn't the essence of the animalistic soul. That's not the essence. The essence animalistic soul is not to have taivas for this world. It's just to have taivas. That this world part, that was something that the parents had to do with. That was the parents' business. You know, there's an aspect called chinuch. There's a rabbinic mitzvah to educate a child. Really, chinuch really means to start it off on the right track. Start it on the right foot. You got this little baby who's a bundle of taiva. Just as he has a bundle of taiva. So when he's very little baby, he's a bundle of taiva, he has to nurse, he has to eat. Okay, fine. But once he can get to beyond that, So what are you going to give him a taiva for? Well, he's going to get a taiva for what you're inculcating him to have a taiva for. Right? So now it's going to start to go somewhere. Where is it going to go now? Okay, so now it's up to you. You want to get him to have a taiva for good things, spiritual things. You know, when he's little, you know, Torah tzivalanu Moshe marash kos Yaakov, when the kid can first talk, that's what you give him a taiva for. Okay, then he's going to learn that taiva. Natural. That's what Rav Kook always spoke about. Chinuch HaTV. Natural. It's a TV in Hebrew. TV. TV. Television. Same word.
What does it mean in Hebrew?
Synonym. What sounds the same? Homonyms. They sound the same. TV. TV. Tes, Vez, Ayin, Yud. TV. It's a little, it's, you know, the accents on the end of this word. TV, as opposed to TV. Right, but it's natural chinuch. Natural chinuch, Rav Kook always spoke about. So I'm not going to teach, I'm not going to make kids go against their nature. Let's go with their nature. Their nature is to lust for things. So good, so let's have them lust away. At what? Let you feast. You'll feast on a Gemara. You'll feast on it. You know? So that's a beautiful thing. Don't tell me your Yetzirah is bad by essence. It's not. It's Tov Ma'od. It really is very good. But until you come to Shabbos, it looks bad. Until you come to Shabbos, it could be a bad thing. The only main part of that is it just is drawn to things that give it pleasure. It doesn't matter. Animal soul. It doesn't matter. Is it God? Is it not God? Just give me pleasure, please. That's all. I need to have that pleasure. Okay, you want to give me God pleasure? I'll take it. You know, before you've learned a bad pleasure, if you're at the neutral point where you have, I don't care what my pleasure is right now. I'm not discriminating. So, okay, so let's show you how pleasurable Hashem and Yiddishkeit and Torah and mitzvahs are. Till the kid will say, wow, I like that. Because all I want is to make myself happy. I want to have pleasure. So we'll give you a pleasure. We'll start off with the right pleasures. Right? And the one who bedafket chooses physical pleasures, because the natural, here's the point, the natural way is to want this world, because that's the world you see. Remember, the physical world is the physical world you see. So without any education, you will naturally, you don't do any, you know, what's the Tarzan, right? The baby boy who's raised in the jungle. So what's he going to be if he doesn't have any godly intervention? It's even an animal. An animal has animal pleasures. Okay, so Tarzan, you know, me Tarzan, you Jane. That's all. That's my animalistic pleasure because you're in a physical world. So obviously the physical world is going to be the natural one you're going to run after. So it's easier for the natural animalistic soul to follow naturally physical pleasures with you, if you don't make any intervention. But what Rav Kook means is the natural, but you can intervene early. What do they call it? Project Head Start, early intervention programs. The Torah is a big believer in early intervention programs. You intervene early when the kid's not upset if you're going to give him something else. Just give me something that makes, you know, let's do a pasuk and here's, you get a little candy. Learn a pasuk, get a candy. What do you do to, what do you learn to teach a killer whale? How to do tricks. You think the killer whale naturally wants to jump through hoops of fire? It's an animal. Right? So what does it want? It just wants one thing. Give me a fish. So you could have a little child jump through hoops of Torah. Just give him good fish. And then he'll say, I want a candy. You want a candy? Say the pasuk. He said, wow, wasn't that pasuk good? It was really good. I'm so proud you know this pasuk here. Let's just give you a nice stimulus response. Okay, now you go. This kid's going to last one more. But if you give the kid a candies for no reason the whole day long, the parents who spoil their kids, that the parents destroy. The teachers have lost any ability. The teacher has a big tool. The big tool was to give kids. The kid comes to school with everything he could ever want.
Chocolate chip doesn't do much.
The teacher can't give them anything. Teacher can't give them. He says, "Why don't I? I can be the worst kid at home, and they give me everything. Why should I be anything good in school?" So then you've robbed the teacher of one of the best tools it has. Okay, there's still things you can give them because so it's the teacher's lost. The teacher's not lost because most of those parents are not giving the kids any love. You know, they're not giving me any love. They're not giving me any time. So a teacher can still say, "I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to give you my love. You know, I'm going to give you my approval. I care about you. I'll spend time with you." Right? And, you know, the Rebbe can still, but that's hard. The Rebbe doesn't have a lot of. The problem is they don't pay the Rebbe enough that he has the time to give them the time. Yeah. The Rebbe has to run to 6 jobs and still not make a living. And he's running out of the class that next minute because I haven't got the time for you. because they don't have enough money to pay me for me to sit and give you the time. So that's a conundrum, but that's natural. Well, therefore, but if a person works on himself to the point that the animalistic soul reaches an understanding that the greatest pleasure an animalistic soul can have is in God, and it will also want to be close to Hashem to be able to achieve that pleasure. Right. That's why if you want to, you know, get to make a change in life, you have to go cold turkey. You have to just unplug the net. Finished. It's gone. It's not an option. Then what am I going to do now? So I have to go to more class. I can't do anything else. You know, that if it's not an option, it's painful. You go through withdrawal symptoms. You know, the best thing really for a boy, if you want to steig, really, okay, when he's old enough, you have to send him away from home. You have to send him to yeshiva, where there's nothing there but Torah. That's it. There's no pleasure. You know, and the meals are not that great. Not that it's poison. The food in yeshiva was not that great. It really wasn't compared to home cooking. Parents say, no, I want to do with me to get the home cooking. Yes, he should have more pleasures of this world. How's he ever going to learn Gemara? How's he ever going to learn Gemara? When you keep giving him extra portions of cholent, and good cholent man, and you give him extra this, extra that. You know, the parents don't realize they're the worst enemy of the kids sometimes. Because you keep reinforcing the animalistic soul to want physical pleasures. He goes away to yeshiva. How do they vaxoys? They went, you know, even in Poland, where they didn't have much pleasure. When they went to yeshiva, it was even less. Go to Baranovich, go to these places. The Lamish lived in abject poverty. So what do they live on? They lived on Torah. And that was their great, and that was their pleasure. So you got to send the kid away. He's got to go. So you send him out of town yeshiva. So before his soul was stylish, you sent him, let's say, to Tells. You sent him to Cleveland. Cleveland ain't exactly an exciting place to be in. And yeshiva was high up on a hilltop, far away from the rest of the goyish world. And you lived on the grounds, the spacious grounds. I don't know, it must have been 50 acres of land. And that was it. There was a baseball field. Everything was there. The dorm, the baseball field, even the, you know, it was a time where, you know, there was the what they used to call it, the haberdashery. That's an old school. Right? No, you know, you could buy anything, you know, it was like the convenience store was on location. You know, they bring one guy was in charge. He went to the bakery, you know, delivered hundreds of donuts, and he sold the donuts in the yeshiva. Why you go out to the world there? And you have what you need, but then you're learning Torah that you can have. Let's just finish this point. When the analytic soul comes to this understanding, the Yetzirah turns into good. And then that etzem, koach ha-taiva, right? That is the Yetzirah. That is the Yetzirah. That is the essence of it. All the bad things, right? So there's other things. Remember, that's the base. The base is the lusts, anger, jealousy. Those are the things that come from that shape. That you never can really use them for good. That's be totally destroyed. But it'll automatically get destroyed when you're only into the good lust. Then you're not into those things. You don't get jealous. You know that has to be destroyed. We'll have to talk more about that. But that's the goal. The goal is to take the Yetzirah and make him your friend. Make him your ally. Make him do exactly what you want and to do it better than you can do it. Better than the Yetzir Tov. And that is the Tov mode that we want to get. It comes on Shabbos. Shabbos, when you say goodbye to the physical world, we're not interested in the physical world anymore. So what am I going to lust for? You're going to lust for what Hashem wants. And you expose yourself to it, you'll get it.